Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Thursday, 13th of June, 2019. Yeah? We are having our Thursday class in Brother Teo and Padmasri's house. So now we compose our mind, develop the Sada, Virya, then mindfully we shall commence the Puja chanting. Namo Bansi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Guansin Pusa. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagavan Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhiwa Demi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. We will chant the Vandana onward, then the page one of the chanting book. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adina Dana Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micacara Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musawada Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sura meraya majapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we are chanting the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina. Ti loka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang kanda sambarayutena dopena hang sukang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kasuma santatin Pujayami munindasa Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kasumena nena Punnena tena cha hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jam. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then just relax body and mind. Then we can have half an hour of silence. awareness meditation. We are off the line, huh? Okay, just remember the four support, especially the first three. Relax, then maintain silent awareness. Whatever thought arises, just let it be. When you don't give any attention to the thinking, the thought process has got no power over you. Then this thought, they will slow down, slow down. When you don't feed it with any more delusion, thought energy, it will just slow down until finally the mind becomes very quiet. The quiet mind is the beginning of mental training. When your mind starts to become quiet, there is clarity, there is space, there is understanding. So just relax, maintain awareness, then let the mind settle down. You're just aware, aware, aware. No need to know, no need to do anything. Just maintain awareness. Then finally, when the thinking slow down until it finally stops, your awareness movement also stop. Then the only awareness that can arise is when your senses receive sense data. Then only your condition contact. Then contact will condition consciousness. Then you can see how all this link clearly. The next step is you input your content of consciousness. Then you have your five mental aggregate of form and mind. Then how, because of the five aggregate, there must be sense bases. Then sense bases can enable contact to arise. Then contact can condition craving when you don't have wisdom, yoniso, manasikara. So all this, you can see them. These are the links that will arise by itself. Then as you meditate, relax, silent more and more, your understanding will stabilize and it will become more and more stable. Then later on when you come out of the meditation, you can reflect and contemplate. Then you can develop deeper understanding. The meditative mind is actually your silent mind. When there is no more thought, when everything starts to settle down, then your mind becomes very quiet. Then you will experience what they call pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind. And that is your meditative mind or your true mind. So use that to develop understanding, wisdom, to meditate. Then it can understand many things. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell when the 30 minutes is up. you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. And you have to maintain all this meditative mind state and extend them into your daily life. The daily mindfulness is very important. Okay, turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakawalesu atra gacchantu devata sadhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadam dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho vicacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro sadamma sarati satta deva manosana putto bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pachyatam veditambo venohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho nyaya patipano bhagavato savakasangho samichi patipano bhagavato savakasangho yadidang chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajam. Bedang Pajami. Damang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind and maintain some form of attention. We will continue with the second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. Okay. Where is the mic? Oh, yeah. You can have it. Yeah. Anybody wants to report your meditation or ask any question, you can have it. Just raise your hand. Anybody? Still so shy. Angie, yes. Yeah.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Yeah,
and
good
all
evening.
Kalani,
yes. Yeah.
About meditation,
yeah.
The moment to moment awareness.
Yes.
It's very easy to be repeated in our daily living,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So it creates a lot of awareness.
It's a new way of living life. So when you have that training already, when you are most of the time aware, then this daily mindfulness can come about. You may use the word moment to moment awareness, but it's actually continuous. Initially, it is not easy. There is an analogy that Ajahn Jagaro gave, which is very good. He said, mindfulness is like when you on a tap. Initially, you on it a little bit. Like it starts to drip. So drip means every drip is like you are aware, then you are not aware, then you have to wait till that drip build up, then drop again. So initially it's like that, just like anapanasati. You cannot maintain that continuous flow of mindfulness to be aware of the in and out breath. When you are not trained, not skillful, split second, the mindfulness is gone. The moment you remind yourself to be aware, but before that awareness can even start, again, your habitual thinking. So the heedless thinking take over. Then you realize it's not easy to be aware of something. And the reason is very obvious. The Buddha said, it is because of your heedlessness, born of your habitual tendency, where you have been thinking all this while, heedlessly thinking. And the main reason behind is you lack the five spiritual faculty. The mental hindrance has taken over. And this mental hindrance hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why you have to understand this is what is happening. So when you understand why you are not able to be in the meditative state, you ask yourself, what must I do? What you need to do is to develop the five opposite spiritual faculty. Work on that. Then after that, you have to follow the Avijja Sutta. the 10 steps. As Kayanamita, you already have the first three. You have Dhamma friends, Kayanamita. And because of that, you have condition or opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. Then you can reflect, contemplate, inquire into what you have listened. Then you can continuously straighten your view, develop the first and second turning wisdom. Then at the same time, put the essential Dhamma to test. When they stand up to investigation, your faith is developed. So when your faith is developed, your faith in the Triple Gem, the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, will drive you to cultivate Sada Litta Virya. Then Sati will be established. And as you go through the second step, if you have the faith, the spiritual faculty of Sada Virya Sati, then you will come to understand the essential Dhamma easily. All the essential Dhamma. Some you have already put to test, your faith become very strong. Then this essential Dhamma is the beginning of wisdom, understanding. And through that you straighten your view. And these are the first and second turning wisdom. The initial wisdom. The Buddha called it Yoniso Manasikara. So Yoniso Manasikara is very important. When you have that, you are not deluded like before. Your view has straightened. And you are able to see things differently. That's why you can see things as they are. Your mind will not behave like before. Through delusion, through wrong view, wrong thought, your mind will not stir and react to sense experience as before. And because of this initial wisdom, you will have more and more moment of mindfulness, awareness, silence, space between thought. That's how your daily mindfulness can pick up. So just now I was explaining, initially it's like very difficult because the spiritual faculty are not there. You are hardly aware. Then once in a while, you are aware, but it doesn't last. Then you have to wait for the next moment of awareness. You are more heedless than aware. So you need to transform yourself from a heedless way of living to a heedful way of living. Then as you develop all these essential Dhamma steps, I write it on the whiteboard. So based on the Abhijja Sutta, you cultivate accordingly. You will develop them correctly. So Abhijja Sutta. Avidya is ignorant. So the sutta on ignorance. So how to break ignorance? They call it the enlightenment sequence. So you have to start with having Dhamma friends. So after you have Dhamma friends, you will have the condition to listen. Listen to the true Dhamma. This one is the most important step. Once you can develop this one, the first and second turning wisdom will come about. So this one will lead to initial wisdom. Or Yoniso Manasikara. So these are the first and second turning wisdom. Then after that, you also investigate into the Dhamma and all those things. Then when they stand up the investigation, your faith becomes very strong. So the third step is faith in Triple Gem. Means the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha. Then this initial wisdom is the fourth one. This is Yoniso Manasikara. So once you develop this, your mind becomes different. Because after you straighten your view, initial wisdom to straighten your view. You will have less and less self-delusion, less and less wrong thought. That's why your mind becomes stable. Your mind doesn't stir like before. Upon contact, at the moment of sense experience, it does not react like normal people because you have developed some form of initial wisdom. So this will bring about the next step, which is the daily mindfulness. This one is very important. So initial wisdom leading to sati sampajana. Oh, sorry. I think one J on here. Double N. So this is mindfulness and clear comprehension or stability of daily mindfulness. Yeah. This is the most important. Without this one, actually the four and five, without these two, you cannot break free. You cannot develop the wisdom. You cannot actually bring about the silent mind, the meditative mind. But because of this, you can be heedful in the midst of life. Heedful in the midst of life. So the moment you can be heedful in the midst of life, the Buddha said the heedful never die. You are destined for enlightenment. That's why after that, all the other steps, they will automatically unfold. Six is sense restraint. You will have sense restraint. The reason being, you are mindful. You can see and understand all this essential Dhamma very clearly. So whenever there is wrong thought, the five mental hindrance or the three evil roots, you will know how to abandon them or prevent them from arising. Once you have this ability, means you have sense restraint. You will not stir, you will not react, you will not create wrong thought. So sense restraint will bring about the next step. The three type of right conduct. After that, you are at least a Sotapanna or Sakadagami. And then the eighth step, After that, only you can cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. Four foundation of mindfulness. Once you do that, the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising. This is Satta Bhujanga, seven factors of enlightenment. Then you know you are on the right path. That's how enlightenment. The last step is enlightenment. Leading to awakening. So this is how the cultivation come about. So the most important one is these two. Initial wisdom leading to sati sampajana, means ever mindful, constantly meditative, heedful throughout the day. So just now I give you the analogy of the drip of water. So initially it's like one drip, then it takes a while for another drip, then another drip. But if you are patient, you have the understanding, the patience, the wisdom. And if you persevere diligently, means you strive on with heedfulness, then this virya will create the condition for you to bring forth the daily mindfulness. Then this drip will become like more regular. So instead of one drip, then there is a gap before the next drip. It starts to drip, drip, drip. Then later on, the drip become a flow. You understand? It become a flow. A flow means it has become continuous. So you say moment to moment is like drip, drip, drip. It's not a flow. When it has become a flow, means you have that stability. You have that skill developed, that understanding that gives rise to that ability to be mindful, heedful throughout the day. So that continuity of mindfulness is very important. That's why what you need to understand is in the formal meditation, you need to train your mind until the spiritual faculty become very strong. Then apart from developing the spiritual faculty, you need to develop the initial wisdom. Otherwise, your daily mindfulness cannot come. Then if you use method and technique, object of meditation, then you need to train the mindfulness of that object of meditation until your mindfulness become very, very stable. Until there is no gap. That's why it's like continuous mindfulness. Then this mindfulness will give rise to piti. Piti is a meditative calmness or spiritual calmness, spiritual joy. Some people call it rapture, the mind like rapture into that type of joy. Then as you continue to relax and develop mindfulness, especially anapanasati, then you experience sukhang, blissfulness of mind. Then you continue to relax into it, then the meditation object becomes very subtle. Your mindfulness becomes very subtle. Like you hardly breathe, or there is no movement at all. Your meditation object all become very quiet. That is positive. You have realized the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, means you have developed the ability to experience your true mind. And that is the beginning of true meditation. When you hit that, you need to stabilize that one. Once you stabilize that one, don't do anything, just maintain the awareness until it becomes very stable. Then you will become very different. That is the higher awareness, higher mindfulness, more refined type of mindfulness. Then you will transform because your mind by then have entered sati. When your mind enters sati, even when you come out of the daily the formal meditation, even before you come out, when you are in that state, the subtle breathing, the very fine movement, object of meditation, everything, you can detect them. Even your heartbeat, you go there aware, all the vibration, everything, you can detect them. Yeah. When you can do that, means you are very sensitive. Your mind is in sati. And when your mind is sati, every small movement is magnified like a big movement. Then when you start to turn, move, or arise, even from the sitting posture, you realize your mindfulness and awareness is with your kaya, automatic. Then everything you do is in sati. Initially, is you realize your kaya, means your physical movement and your mindfulness, they are like become one already. Then after that, you see things, it's like a flow, specific phenomenal awareness. It's no more like last time, with a lot of thought and all those things, no more. It's just that phenomenon, the awareness of that phenomenon. Then the hearing also same. The seeing is in sati, hearing is in sati. Then your smell, your taste, your tactile, and your thought process, all this become very clear to you. That is the daily mindfulness that you must develop. And that is step five. You will become heedful in the midst of life. So if you work on step four and five, you will progress very fast. And this one is not difficult. You must have the faith and do it. The moment you develop it, you will see a lot of things. You will understand a lot of things. And you need to connect to your true mind, to step four and five. Especially step four. Then step five, when they come about, you will connect to your true mind. Then you will inherit from your spiritual nature. Then you will know what to do. And all the understanding will unfold. Well, by then, you can see things as they are. Then all the Dhamma, like suddenly, everything becomes very clear. Technically, you don't need teacher. Then all the essential Dhamma, you like very easy to understand. Then you can reflect back and recall. How come in the past you cannot see them, cannot understand them? Then now all of a sudden, everything is so clear. Then even the Mahayana Sutta, by then, Heart Sutta, Surangama Sutta, the moment you read, you understand. The moment you read, you understand. Yeah, these are truth, born of the silent mind. So the silent mind, once you have developed it, it can understand things as they are, see things as they are. It can comprehend truth. That's why it becomes very different. So this is how the daily mindfulness can be developed and is to be developed. Then after that, it's like your life becomes totally different. You are like a transformed human being. Then that time, you have a lot of joy. You just smile. Then a lot of things that people cannot understand, you will know why they cannot understand. That's why that time you don't want to argue with people anymore. You understand things at a completely different level from normal puttujana or normal mundane people who don't have the Dhamma understanding. So this is The reason why the Buddha Dhamma is so unique, so beautiful, and it can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, so that you can live life beautifully, you can experience the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You can live the life of an enlightened being. Then you can experience, you can get to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Then you can be with the moment so easily, so naturally. Then everything is like very clear to you. Your form and mind with that wisdom developed is completely different. And that form and mind connected to that wisdom will transform you. Understanding wise, personality wise, character wise, that's how you become different. And this is what enlightenment is all about. And it's not difficult, really not difficult. Okay? Sadhu, 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 sadhu. So this one has been made clear many times. So hopefully, with today's sharing, it will be even more clear to you all. Yes, tell me. Well, I have a drink. Can on this one. A bit stuffy now.
Brother, can I say something? You know, when especially when we walk in the park, you know, like in the midst of nature, you see the, you know, the silence of nature. So, you know, when the tree, the tree is not even stirring, especially when there's no breeze. So you feel like, you know, you are really part of nature. The all is really beautiful.
You can experience all those things, which is very good. But the thing that you have to be careful is, well, sometimes it's just when you happen to be in a park, then that day happen to be a very quiet day. The weather is very good. Means not much wind, not much breeze. So everything is like very still. So you can perceive the silence of nature. So when you perceive the silence of nature, you will have that joy. Then the danger is your thought will come in. That's why I say don't be complacent. Well, that is just the beginning. The beginning. The real one is after you have transformed, after the daily mindfulness has developed, then the wisdom has come in. Then what you experience and realize and understand is no more what you heard or what people tell you. Of course, you will go through that phase, but because you read, you have some form of understanding, then when you experience something of that nature, you straight away link to the Dhamma that you have read or which you think you understand. Which is also not bad, quite good initially. But the actual one that is very different and very penetrative is after you have transformed, after the daily mindfulness all come in. The stage where the daily mindfulness come in is very different, very beautiful. But during that time, you can see a lot of things. And you will have a lot of questions during that time. How come like that? Then all those things, normal people who has not done it, they cannot ask those type of questions. They cannot even understand what this thing is. But when you are that phase, it's very beautiful. Where you start to see many, many things. And you start to gather self-knowledge. And when you understand yourself clearly, retrospectively, or they call through induction, you can deduce it. Other living beings is the same. When you understand yourself, you understand others very clearly. So this phase you have to go through. You go through. Otherwise, it's like complacency. Then you stop there because you think you already understood or have the experience and the understanding. That's why that is the part that I need you to take note of. Because a lot of people who listen and hold on to that knowledge of that Dhamma, then when they have some form of progress, then they experience certain things, then they are too fast to straight away relate to the Dhamma. It's just like in the form of meditation, before they can stabilize their mindfulness, the thought come out. Wow, what was it that I experienced? Isn't that the stillness, the tranquility, the silent mind? Then you will quote me. Maybe you would, Brother Teo say, this is my true mind. Then you get excited over that true mind. Those things are not important. Those things are still Dhamma. What is more important is, can you use that mindfulness to see the evil roots, to see the essential Dhamma, to put to test, then to awaken, then to straighten your view? The wisdom is most important. It's not what you experience or see. It's the wisdom. After you have the ability to see, the natural consequence is the wisdom, the understanding. Initially, it could be the initial wisdom, born out of first and second turning, which is good enough. Then after that, the third turning, the direct seeing, the awakening, after you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, that is very penetrative. Then that one, when you go through the awakening, you become very different. You will experience that nibbanic bliss or experience for longer period. It's no more a glimpse. It will initially arise more and more frequent. Then all of a sudden, after a while, you're suddenly able to go into it for quite a long time. Then when you come out of it, everything become a lot clearer. The glimpse is only the initial sainthood way, especially Sotapanna shape and Sakadagami shape. But once your Nibbana experience, means Nibbana, once they continue to arise for a period, then they stabilize and you can go into it for a longer period. During that time, you will experience a different understanding. Then when you come out of it, you really know who you are, what you are, what that nature is. Because when you are in it, the whole form of mind cease. Even the pure awareness, the conscious, all cease. You cannot talk, you cannot describe. Well, there is nobody inside that. Nothing. It's the unconditioned. But then it has its condition to arise again, to come out. So, because the form and mind is connected to that experience, so when it happens, the form and mind will know how it happened. But the moment it goes into cessation, Nibbana, that one only words. You cannot talk about it. Oh, sorry, you cannot really describe it or talk about it because you have to use words to describe it. Because it's the unconditioned, no word, nothing. So that phase is totally different. Then that one, you cannot decide when to come out. It's not for you to decide. The condition will happen by itself. Then when it decides to come out, because of your mindfulness, awareness, it will know how it all started. How when the first consciousness come into the physical form and how it actually come into one, then split into your brain, your heart area and your abdomen, Tan Tien area. So these three areas of consciousness, the moment they split, it will activate those centers. Then you become like animated into a human being again. Then you start to see very clearly through your awareness how your brain start again, operate. It's like a dynamo, zoom, start again, the whole thing. Then your heart area, everything start again. Then your heartbeat, your pulse of life, everything come back. But initially it's very slow, very slow. Then how the Tan Tien activate all the other energy movement. Then initially, I remember, this mind like completely still, transform. Then when you come out of it, you can see all the sense data coming in, one by one, coming in. Oh, you can see them. Then you know, all this thing is going to start again. Yeah. There's a lot of things you will go through, you will experience them. Then after that, your understanding is very, very different. Because you really understand from first principle who you are, what you are, and how you become a human being. And all this is not in the scripture, not in the teaching. Unless you go through, you cannot understand. That's why the Buddha also mentioned Nibbana is something you cannot talk about because it's the unconditioned. But I have to use word to describe to you what happened. Yeah. But the danger is, don't go and look for it. When you experience it, you go through it, then all this memory or understanding will come back to you. Then you will know, this is beautiful. Those who went through, they can tell you. I use my word. You will use your own word, which is very different. There are different people use different words to describe different things. But they all point to the same experience, the same transformation that they go through. But this type of transformation can never be different. Nibbana is just one aspect of Nibbana, cessation of form and mind. Yeah. Then that nature who go through that one will know the oneness nature. Then that is how the Buddha actually share his experience of what that thing is. That's why he used this sentence. He said, if it's not because of the unconditioned escape from the conditioned world, would be impossible. Means, if there is no such thing as the unconditioned, which is Nibbana, then escape from the conditioned world is impossible. Because the conditioned world needs condition to arise and manifesting. And because it is a conditioned world, it is always subject to condition. And condition leads to impermanence. And because it's impermanent, it will lead to suffering. And because it's impermanent and lead to suffering, it's not real. It's not you. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity where you can cling on to, hold on to, and grasp onto. Then you will see clearly the three universal characteristics. The empty nature of existence, the unreality of life, the phenomenal world of consciousness. Everything becomes like suddenly very clear. Then you understand what form and mind is, how it arises. Then there is a true nature that is connected to it. All this you will understand. Yeah. Then you will be able to comprehend clearly the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching. Everything that the Buddha teach become like so clear to you. You can like the whole big picture, big zigzag puzzle, suddenly you see them all fall into place. That's how you can link all the teaching. And all the teaching are connected because they spin off from the Four Noble Truths. From right view, it comes about. Just like those who study the Dhamma, you cannot link them. You don't have the Dhamma. You can only link them after you have awakened, after you have developed the understanding of all this through experiential understanding, not through knowledge, not through memory. That's why the Buddha say, this Dhamma is to be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Unless you have the wisdom, you cannot realize this Dhamma. That's why under salutation to the Dhamma, he used the word Pachetang. Pachetang means, this Dhamma can be realized by the wise, each for themselves, only the wise. If you are not the wise, you cannot awaken to the Dhamma. Then he always say, I can only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself. Means you have to awaken yourself. If the Buddha can make you enlightened, he would have done so. He has great love and compassion, but he can't. Yet each and every one, you have to walk the path yourself. You have to realize this understanding yourself. No amount of teaching can help you if you are not serious. You don't have the faith, the sincerity, the perseverance. You don't go and develop it. So, bear in mind that it's not difficult if you understand. You have the sincerity, the faith, and the perseverance. But for those who are heedless, it's like next to impossible. Where the heedless are as if dead, you don't stand a chance. So if you are on that extreme, then you don't stand a chance. But if you have this understanding, you intend on heedfulness, like Dhammapada verse 22, the wise, knowing the difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, they will intend on heedfulness. Then they rejoice in the rhyme of the Aryas, which are the enlightened one. So all this will be very, very clear. And you will know what to do. You will know how to move. Like what I used to share with you all in the early day, the moment I heard about the Four Noble Truths, I never turned back. 1971. But to me, it is so beautiful. It explained to me the whole of life, both the mundane and supramundane. And this is what I need to come to this world. If I don't understand this, I will suffer. I will become miserable. That's why this is most important. Nothing else is more important. That's why my nature never turned back. After that, I never doubt. My nature tell me, no need to search. That's it. This is the real one. But nobody can summarize all his enlightenment understanding into just Four Noble Truths. And it's so beautiful. And from there, it explained to me all of life, not only the mundane aspect, even the supramundane aspect. At that time, as a kid, 17 years old, I can understand all those things. That's very strange. But the moment I saw the Four Noble Truths, insight was very different, very, very clear. Then that joy. The moment I read, like I suddenly understood the message and I understood life inside out, both the mundane and the supramundane. Then inside tell me, no need to search. This is the real one. That's it, finished. All these are possible because this nature has developed them before from the past. Past cultivation is very important. Just now you were asking what Tammy is supposed to ask, but you took the mic and asked. Did I answer your question? No, what was you asking?
About nature.
Nature.
Stillness.
Oh, yeah. So I explained to you is to prevent you from being like complacent. Understand? Well, when you are complacent, you think you know, you believe you have experienced it. That one is not the wisdom. That one is some form of progress, which is very good. Where you can experience this thing, then you can relate to its beauty and its wonder, but at your level. That's why don't be complacent. The real one is continue to develop the initial wisdom. The wisdom is most important. Then daily mindfulness. Then when you have the daily mindfulness cultivated with the initial wisdom, you become very different. And you will ask different questions. Well, a lot of things you never see before, you start to see. Oh, your subtle greed, subtle craving, everything. Then the 12 links, patichasamutpada, you start to see. And when you see, there is a different type of understanding and joy. But this is coming from your personal experience. It's not knowledge anymore. Then when you start to see all this, then you realize how beautiful the Buddha's teaching is all about. Then you will admit why the Buddha say we are all deluded. Despite your university degree, you may be a professor, a PhD holder, a first class honors guy, but you are still deluded. Avijja. Self-delusion is very powerful. Then you will come to understand why the Buddha say you are full of ignorance. Despite your knowledge, your academic knowledge. Ignorant means you don't understand the truth. You don't know who you are, what you are. And through that self-delusion, you cling, you attach, you grasp, you hold, and become afflicted. And you cannot understand all this. That's why you are full of ignorance. Then later on you check the mundane mind that don't have the wisdom. Everything you do, there is this greed and selfishness behind. There is this atta personality behind. And because of that personality, that greed dominate you. Then you will start to see, no wonder the Buddha say, these three evil roots are the root of all evil. The first thing I realized, I remember after I started the daily mindfulness cultivation, I saw everything I do, there was a motive behind. Not concerning me, no advantage to me or my family member or somebody that I know or related to my company or my state or my country or my race. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And when people say bad about this personality and those people who are related to me, you are there to respond straight away. You want to argue. You want to challenge people. So I start to see this very clearly. Then, almost everything you do in life, you never able to come out with a pure thought, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. You realize all your thought, there is motive behind. For me or not for me. Then there is selfish intention behind. And the cunningness, the deceitfulness. So everything you do is for your advantage. If nothing to benefit you, you don't want to do. That's why Xianhua used the word 不自私,不自利. These two words are very good. No selfishness, no self-benefiting. That's why he changed the five precepts to six principles. 六大宗旨. You go and read his early days book. He add in all these things. Selfishness and all these things. Self-benefit. 自私自利 and all those things. When it comes to cultivation, it's the mindfulness, the stability of mindfulness that see the subtle greed behind, the subtle craving, the subtle delusion. Then you can see all the movement within your mental states, your very subtle emotion. all this will manifest inside. Then you start to see, you start to become very different. You are very sensitive. That's why after that you are incapable of evil. The sense of strain is automatic. Because the slightest movement, light or dislike or that craving, that desire, that subtle deceitfulness, intention, all you start to see. Oh. Then you realize in the past you can't really do something that is selfless. You know what is selfless or not? Even to bring up your children, send them for education, give them the best, everything. It's all based on what? That selfishness. My son, my daughter, otherwise I won't do, understand or not? Oh. Because that sakayaditi, self-delusion, that attachment is so strong. Then you realize, hey, what is all this? That's why later on, when this understanding came, then it starts to unfold, straighten my view, and start to do things in a different manner. Then that time, love means love. Joy means joy. Help means help. People whom I don't know, I don't maybe have any relationship with. Somebody I just encounter in the midst of society or life. If there is condition, I can genuinely help. Oh. And I can genuinely express that type of love. Then I realize, hey, can be done. Then I realize, even people who are close to me, my close friend, my parent, my brother, if there is no condition, I cannot share the Dhamma. I cannot even want to help them because no condition, no point. And that time my kid very young, especially my son and my daughter, they know. They said there is no condition, never mind. They were only 6 years old, 7 years old. Yeah, I was trying to explain certain things to my father. He was not listening. Yeah, he worried I become monk. That's why he don't want to listen. He said, don't talk about Buddhism. He's scared I become monk. And that fear prevented him from listening. But then, I let things be. Well, my son told me, daddy, no condition. No need to talk to Kong Kong. He tell me that. I said, okay. Then later on, 10 years later, suddenly one day I went home. I think he knew I wouldn't become monk already. Because I didn't I didn't put in any attempt to make him understand. If he want to listen, I explain. If he don't want to listen, I keep quiet. And you know what happened? He was full of joy. That day I remember I came back from PJ, I visited him. Then he said, come, I got something to give to you. Actually, my dad has never given me anything. Personally, of course he provides for my education, food, shelter, he takes care of us and all those things. But he has never really gave me anything. And no need to talk about birthday, we got so many children. Nobody, he has never celebrated any birthday with us, all of us. That's why there is no such thing as birthday gift or what. The only thing he rewards us is when we did well in our exam. Oh. He very happy. He will give me money. He said, go, spend this money. You can take your friend for dinner or whatever. So he talked to me. Then I went in and followed him. Then you know what he did? He went to the shelf, the shop there. There is a place where he keep his thing on. He took out one calendar, very big one. So I thought, oh, okay, maybe want to give me the calendar with the Chinese date on. You know what happened? When I opened up that thing, I had a lot of joy. There was a radiant Buddha with light shining. Very big, I think about 2 feet by 1 feet, or 1 feet plus. Could be 1 and a quarter feet or what. 15 inches by 24 inches. It's very big and very, very big. Then I look at him. I say, thank you so much. Then I knew that is the time to talk to him. Oh, that time he listened. He was full of joy. That's why you must have this understanding. No condition, just let things be. Even your own spouse, your own children, your own parent, they have their condition. Like my children, I never force them to study Dhamma. No. You can ask them when they are here, or my wife. I leave them. I let them do what they like. They go to Sunday school. Yes, they enjoy Sunday school. After that, Form 1, I think Form 1 or Form 2, they didn't go anymore. Then I let it be. Until they grew up, graduate from university, then live their life. And then only last few years, 3 years or one, my daughter ready, got condition, she come. Early on, my wife also like expressed her concern. She said, hey, you better teach them. They have their past, their varami. Why worry? The time will come, condition will unfold. No need to worry about them, not just because they are my kid, I must do something. No. Even like you all Kayanamita, most of you all, I don't know you all. Apart from Sri and me, for my classmate, all of you, you come on your own. One way or another, but I don't know you all. And you manifest because of your past karmic affinity. You have this, what they call good condition. That's why I always say, thank your good karma. Nothing to do with me. My nature just manifests, accord and flow. Got condition, it share. After it share, finish. Whether you learn or you don't learn, you agree or you don't agree, it's not important. We are this nature new, not what you think, not so real. Form and mind, dependent originating. Everything is just condition arising, causal phenomena. The phenomenal world of consciousness, no reality. Only memories. 往事只能回味. Then there is no such thing as my son, my wealth, my loved one. This only exists in the existential world. The form and mind, subject to karma, law of karma. The form and mind recognizes relationship. In that aspect, yes, there is relationship. But you must not deludedly attach, cling and grasp just because you think they are your loved ones. And living beings find it very difficult to understand that part. And they always tell you, what can I do? They are my children. Then they complain, maybe past life must have owed them. That's why this life must willingly give back to them, despite all the unhappiness and the problem. Okay, so this part I think is clear by now. Then I have answered your that one complacency. Tell me, pass the mic though.
Dear and good evening to Erica, everyone. This is like a report, like, actually. Just now what Bharatiya said, we think that we are like so goody-goody, but actually not so.
Yeah.
it happens because last week I went to a kind of a short retreat.
Okay.
And then the retreat kind of have this rumors of like having these unseen beings. But I heard that the management already did some cleansing.
It's already done.
Yeah. So, but maybe some people still have the memory of they also scared.
The thought will project and develop the fear.
So, I think 2 years ago, I stayed there alone before, so also nothing happened. So,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm quite confident with that, that place.
Okay.
And then, okay, this is the last night when I was there. Maybe due to meditation, I found it a bit hard to sleep. Then after that, at the end, I still went to sleep. Went to sleep already. Then suddenly, a noise wake me up. It was like someone crying. Then I was like, why someone crying? Then I'm like, okay, never mind. Then after that, the cry was very loud. Then I'm like, okay, someone is crying. The first thought was like, yo, who is crying? I want to go and have a look, you know. But I'm like, eh, okay, wait for a while first. Then no one move, you know. It's like so loud, but no one is moving.
Means not from the people sleeping nearby.
The place got four rooms. I stayed in the big room. Outside the
Like a dormitory.
Outside the dormitory. But so loud, no one is moving. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's some other noise, you know. Then mind was kind of like, having thoughts already.
Yeah, starts to proliferate.
Then I try to listen what the thing saying, you know, but I couldn't hear anything. It just loud sobbing, you know. Then I kind of noticed that two things came up here. One thing is the first thing at first I was thinking on the helper, then after that I was having this like self-protection, like, you know, even though whatever, like, you're crying, you're really sad, but I just, like, I need to protect myself, you know, selfish of thing.
That thought come out.
Then also got another two things is, got one thought telling me that, just relax, be with the fear, then you will be fine.
Sadhu, very good.
And then the another thought was telling that, continue to be like you, your sure thing, you know, be scared, you know. Got this two, then it's really weird that this me, like feeling very comfortable to be scared, and then, you know. It's like, you know, this is really okay. That one is like you feel more familiarized with that feeling.
Yeah, because when you have that understanding, you can really arise that type of thought. Even if the condition continues, let's say the crying sound, the howling sound, so be it, understand? Then your thought that tell you, you can continue to have that fear. It's actually not continuing to have that fear. Your howling sound, everything can continue. But I can accept that reality already. And that is what that thought is telling you. But these are still thoughts. But these are better thoughts than last time. Well, last time you don't know what is it. So when I say yoniso manasikara means the understanding will come and prompt you. When it prompts you to be with the fear, you have to do it. Go into it. Because you too fast create another thought. Then you always say this thought, that thought, actually they are all thought. None of them are not thought. And they are the one that condition you. Keep on like deceiving you, understand? Through all this movement. So what you need to understand is sometimes when you go to spiritual trip or even meditation centers or certain places where you know there are non-humans. Then especially when they tell you it's haunted before or what, then you observe your thought, see the movement. But this thought very fast. The moment you hear something, especially if you are Chinese, don't go to dark places. Got ghost. You straight away panic. The moment you see darkness, you feel very insecure. Then you want to have light and all those things. But when you have the Dhamma, it's different. Well, all these non-human don't have a physical form. What can they do to you? And like the Buddha say, virtue protect. Understand? So trust your nature. If you have the virtue, you have kept the precept, you have the Dhamma, you don't have to worry. And most important thing is, there must be condition for all this to arise. So So sometimes the condition could be this non-human, when they are in that state, they can actually see. They can know who are the cultivator. Because your light is different. You radiate a different type of light and they call aura or nature. Sometimes they want merits. Do you understand? You remember King Bimbisara? The king, he cannot harass by all his relatives. But that night he cannot sleep. Oh. Then when he relayed that thing to the Buddha checked, then realized that these are from Kassapa Buddha, the long, long lost relative. And this group of people, because the world system is a different world system already, all those that have affinity with them, they are so-called departed relative, they are no longer in that existence because it was the previous Buddha. So because of what happened, they did something which is very, very serious, heavy karma, Sikhism. They misappropriate the Sangha. That was a Buddha in the distant past. No? They misappropriate the offering, so, which people wants to like make offering to the Sangha. That time there was a Sammasambuddha. No? Then these are supposed to be offering, and they are supposed to be the organizers who organize all this, but they misappropriate all those things. And because of that very severe karma, they went down to hell for so long, until by the time they come out, it's another Buddha already. Buddha Kassapa. The Buddha before Sakyamuni. And Buddha Kassapa also very long time ago. No? So during that time, they all also born as Peta already. Means come out from hell already. When they are out of hell in the Peta line, they saw Kassapa Buddha when people offer all those Sangha offerings, and when they rejoice, they share merit, they transform. All of the departed relatives all benefit, you know. They transform and receive all those merit. But then this group didn't receive anything. No. Then they went and approached Kassapa Buddha. Then Kassapa Buddha checked, told them in the distant past, you misappropriated all this Sangha offering to Sammasambuddha, that's why you cannot receive and you don't have departed relative in this line. Existing departed relative. Then Kassapa helped them to check. No? Oh, you're very lucky, is it? You have to wait till the next asana when Sakyamuni Buddha arrives. There will be a king, Bimbisara. He is related to you all. At that time, you request. And you know that time when Bimbisara invited the Sangha of Sakyamuni Buddha, yeah, he doesn't know that he has to transfer merit. So he was having fun and offer everything and a lot of joy. But the departed relative never received anything. But this guy didn't know how to transfer. So after he slept, they came and harassed him. He cannot sleep. Then the next day, he relayed this to the Buddha. He said, how come I make such offering, did so much wholesomeness, yet I cannot sleep? Then the Buddha checked, oh, your good friend disturbed you. He said, so what must I do? He said, no, my very easy. Hold another Sangha. He said, make another offering to the Sakyamuni Buddha Sangha. Then this time I teach you, he said, how to share merit and transfer. So he teach him. Idang minya tinang ho tu sukita hontunya tuyo. Then the Buddha used his psychic to create the divine eye for King Bimbisara to see. The moment he recited, he saw all his departed relatives one by one become devas and all those things. That's why that story, that Jataka story was very, very interesting. That's why don't play a fool. And all these non-human, you don't worry, because they don't have a physical form. But a lot of them, they need murid. Because in their rhyme, like the Therakuda Sutta that Sakyamuni shared, they are not like we all on earth. No, we can work, we can do business, we can go to the farm, plow thing and all. And now you can go through internet or the thing and make a lot of money. Then you can even born into a rich family, no need to work, everything provided. But there, down there, they arrive. This Pitta rhyme. The Buddha say, there is no work for you to do. I say, neither merchandising or plowing or whatever. She said, but down there, there is no such thing as you can work for money, you can do like business, merchandising. No such thing. So the only way for them to receive merit is transfer of merit from departed relative. That's why that rhyme, very charming. That one is the Pitta rhyme. They call it the hungry ghost or the wandering ghost. So that one, if you don't have Dhamma friend, Dhamma departed relative, they will never send you a sharing of merit and transfer of merit. Then you will have big problem. But as Kayanamita, you don't worry. Even you very, very char, you didn't really cultivate heedless, then you take birth in the Pitta rhyme. Very fast you come out. We are every day also idang menya tinang hotu. But don't go down too long. By the time you come out, they are not around already. Or then, chapla, like that group of Pitta, wait till the next Buddha Sasana, then Kayanamita come back. Oh, got chance. So all this is for you to learn. So your case is you can just silence your mind and sense feel. Then if it's this non-human who want married, you will know one. You can sense them one. Then the moment you read it, they can experience it. And you can sense the joy and all those things. That's why sometimes when these devas up there, non-human, when they rejoice, I will know one. Then that's why in the retreat you realize sometimes I chant the Akasata Chavumata 2-3 times. It's for them. So all this sharing of merit, transfer of merit are very important. Because when you do that, the Dhamma protector protect you. Understand? Huh? And because you have the Dhamma, you are Dhamma friends or cultivator of the Dhamma. That's why they protect you because you are part of the sasana. Understand? Huh? You contribute to the sasana, the dispensation, the teaching. You have to keep them, you have to promote them, and you have to actually cultivate them. So this Buddha Sasana will continue to exist as long as there are cultivators who has the Dhamma. That's why they chant Akasata Cha Bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth. Nagas, Nagas and devas of mighty strength. So, deva, naga, mahindika. So, devas and naga of mighty strength. May they share these merits, and may they long protect the sasana, the Buddha sasana or Buddha's dispensation. So that is what you chant. That's why they will rejoice. Because you invite them to rejoice in this wholesomeness. You share merits with them. Then through this sharing of merit, you invite them to protect the sasana. And they will do it. That's why they will protect you. That's why you realize if you are a serious cultivator, a real Kayanamita, whenever we go spiritual trip or whatever, you feel that you are very lucky, you are very blessed. The weather, everything is very conducive. And everything like fall into place. Sometimes certain kayanamita, they go on their own, they also realize they are different. During the early day, they got a lot of problem on. So after they have the Dhamma, they realize when they go overseas or when they travel or even they go through life, they will come to that clear understanding that things are different now. You seldom have problem like before. Last time, like very, very sui on, everything go wrong. Then like every now and then got problem on, got issue on. Then you got a lot of anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety. So these are the things that will haunt those who don't have the Dhamma, because they're mental hindrance. Mental hindrance is the one that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot meditate. You cannot keep the precept. You cannot develop virtue. You cannot have that understanding to understand life. That's the reason why they always get themselves entangled with life. And they actually create their own problem. So that negative karmic conditioning keep on coming back to haunt them. So the Buddha Dhamma is very important. When we have this understanding, when we can see all this very clearly, we will know what to do. Then we know how to manifest. So for your case, I think very likely they want merits. So you can just read it from your heart. And when you read it, you will know. Because you can feel their joy. Then they become quiet again. So no need to fear. No need to do all those things that you don't understand or people suggest to you. Because when you do things that you don't understand, it is not going to be beneficial. That's why as Kayamita or Dhamma friends, first, trust your virtue. Because the moment you keep your precept, you listen to Dhamma, you come for the class, the 10 meritorious actions, you already completely develop them. And you will have a lot of virtue, a lot of merits, a lot of blessing. Then when you invoke power of merits and share merits, it's very powerful. They will receive it and they will know. That's why they will have a lot of joy. Then you don't have to worry where you go, because your nature will shine forth. Like the Buddha said, nothing protects you except your virtue. That's why keep on cultivating wholesomeness, goodness, virtue, blessings. And you will have the good life. And no need to fear anything. Who fear? What fear? Nothing. Fear is only the thought's projection. So make full use of your understanding to benefit the world, to benefit living beings, the non-humans. Then share merit, transfer merit. And these are very good practices that the Buddha has passed down. That's why every session, before we start, we do our puja, we recall to mind all the significance of all this puja offering. Then we take refuge, we renew our precept. We perform all the dana, sila, bhavana. Then after that, we start by chanting the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha so that you know what they are. Then you listen to the Dhamma, straighten your view, share merit, transfer merit. Then you develop service for the community or even towards the Kayamita. So all these are meritorious action. You get to develop them, cultivate them. That's why every of these sessions you transform without you knowing. And do you know one of our class, you just participate with faith, sincerity and attentiveness. The merits that you receive is beyond what you can think. Sometimes people can live many lives, but they can never perform, even despite the number of lives they do. They cannot even perform the amount of merits that you receive for going through one of these sessions, either Tuesday class or Thursday class or Sunday class, or even on a retreat or a spiritual trip. Because the amount of wholesomeness that you develop is really beyond. Especially the 9-day retreat, the annual retreat, is fantastic. And this 9-day retreat, you really develop it with understanding, you will progress, and your nature become very different. Therefore, your mind to settle down over a continuous period of cultivation is a very, very unique thing. And for those who have the understanding, they benefit tremendously. Okay? So tell me.
After the solving, then it was like quiet already. Then the time the another mind took over, then it become calm and fell back to sleep. Then the next morning, actually, there were a few people also hurt, but also all frozen, they're not cut.
Yeah, because they got so much fear.
Actually, there's a lady, then when she arrived there already, she a bit sick. And then, and then she also, I don't know what that, this time she was like afraid to go around that area, and then was about lot of fear. Then last night when she was about to leave, that time was she had this nightmare that she couldn't shout. That's why she was like,
That. It's like Kwai Chak San.
So that's why she couldn't.
You shout, but no voice come out.
That's why you have this sound.
Because all the fear, the intense fear. But I want to ask, your session there, they don't share merit or not after?
I heard the first time they have there, because they didn't share merit, so then some incident happened. So after that, this time they do share continuously, but still, I don't know why it's like the last night happened.
But if you don't share your understanding, not from the heart or sincere heart, it doesn't work on her. And they will come and disturb you. So sometimes when you feel this thing, you have to talk to them. Not to go and look for them and talk to them. You just silence yourself in the room or during the meditation. Then you just talk to them, communicate to them. You say, I understand you all have been around long before us. But in our society, we have this tradition. Means if we come and request for permission to hold a retreat here by paying for whatever that is needed to be paid, then we will come and occupy this place and hold our meditation retreat. So we hope you understand. And we are here just to meditate. We are not here to create unnecessary misunderstanding or problem. So hopefully you can also remain and help us to have the condition to have a good retreat. Then we will continuously on a daily basis share merit and transfer merit. So if they don't share, you share. It's very important. That's why you have to be mindful, sensitive. You go there, you felt something, you better read it, love and metta. Sometimes, it's not to say you can see or you cannot see. These non-human are everywhere. Then, some different religious belief, different culture, they are different again. You cannot use Buddhist culture for all of this type of non-human. I told you all before, last time KK, we stayed in one of the small motel which was converted from a church. And the non-human there is different. There's a luckily I sense, then I radiated straight away. I communicated with her. Then after that, it really settled down. Otherwise, not easy. Because the moment I went into the room, actually before that, outside, I already saw the sign, the cat, the two cats fighting. One was a Dhamma cat listening to us. The other one outside on the hall, very fierce. Then I think they don't like this, but they cannot understand our discussion, I think. Then we were like normal spiritual trip. Sometimes we discuss and all those things. Then we do our whatever chanting and all those things. But they are different religion, not different tradition, but different religion, completely different. So they may not understand and they may not like, and sometimes they take offense. So they will disturb you. They will challenge you. Who are you? Come here. Don't even respect us. It's like gangster. They are there for so long, and they are the gangster that is in charge of that player. You come like nobody. Like, didn't even respect them or whatever. I tell you, it will give you trouble. So what happened was, after that, I straight away cut short the thing. I said, okay, enough. Don't talk Dhamma anymore. I say, we share merit. We transfer merit. But I recite it differently. I recite it in a Christian way. So may all beings be well and happy. This one I apply to all religion. May you all continue to be happy and have well-being. May you develop the joy, the happiness, and continue to be a blessing to all in all those things. So say very general thing. Then later on, when I went into the room, straight away I lie down on my bed. Then I realized they were around, a lot of them. Then I straight away silent. Then I talk to them, communicate to them. After that, within about, I think, 20 minutes or half an hour at the most, then my room quiet, silent. Then later on, I think that time Stephanie was there, yeah, and the roommate. The roommate cannot sleep, like nightmare. She heard fear and all those things. And she also told us in the morning, yes, early morning, I asked her, I said, do you have a good sleep? She said, no, first 2 hours cannot sleep. But after that, can sleep. That's why all this, you must know. We were in KK, halfway, I think, from Kota Kinabalu to Kunasan. On the way, we stopped by somewhere in between. Then we stay at this cheap motel. Because somebody recommended, the brother is in KK. And the brother is a Christian. And we didn't know until later on, the brother told us, that place is cheap and good because last time was a Christian church. Then they decide to sell. Somebody bought and convert into a motel. So that's why you need to be sensitive. Not necessarily all the non-human are Buddhist based. You go to Muslim country, you better be careful too. Then Western country, easy. You must know a little bit about Christianity. May the Lord be with you. May Jesus' love and compassion be with you. So I come in peace. I meant no harm. If I have caused you any misunderstanding or unhappiness, whatever, please forgive me. It's not my intention. I sincerely seek your forgiveness. Then you tell them about our civilization. If we pay for the room, we have the right to actually occupy this room. But I understand you are here before me, So you're most welcome to stay. I got no objection. But I hope you can help protect this place. I will be very grateful. Thank you. Oh, I tell you, they will feel very good. Understand? Oh, at least this guy pay respect. But you must do it with sincerity. Understand? You fake, they know one. Like those people not sincere one. I don't mean one. Sorry. The way you express it, you try to con yourself out of the situation. That one doesn't work. So you cannot. That's why you must have Dhamma. You cannot act on this one. You cannot pretend one. No need to fear. Understand? Who fear? What fear? And they cannot do anything to you, actually, technically. But they can create that type of eerie energy, like in the Therakuda Sutta, that eerie energy. And they can make you difficult to sleep. Then you got fear, worse. They will intensify your fear. They will come after you. It's just like the dog. When they bark, you got fear, they chase after you. You got no fear, you look at the dog. Without fear, you look. The dog dare not come near you. It's like that. That's why fear, they can sense. And when they sense, they know you are in trouble. So all this is something you need to learn. That's why after I have the Dhamma understanding, I got no problem. Everywhere I go, I got no problem. We need to be sensitive. When I was in Australia, it was even better. Where there are trees, a lot of devas there. A lot of devas. So all the morning, I come out, I felt all those energy. Then I read it. I send all this metta, I was saying. Then sometimes I also share merits with them. And I think they responded because they know. Then when that dog passed through, you remember? That dog can sense my metta from so far. I think about 500 meters away. Then I saw the dog and the owner. Then all of a sudden, that dog, a very big dog, as tall as me, he just took off from the owner. The owner panicked, the string went off his hand. And he ran that dog I don't say it's charging, ran towards my direction. Then the owner thought that dog was going to attack me, Because shoot off, take off so fast. But from far, I can sense his joy. I saw the fur all coming out. Then the most obvious sign, the tail keep on wagging. Then I know, this dog, good dog. And when he came near me, in front of me, I can see the expression, the joy. Then I say, I stroke the head. Good dog, I say. The owner came, panting. He said, who are you? I thought my dog was going to attack you. I said, no, good dog. Very good dog. Then after that, the owner wanted to leave. The dog refused to follow him. The dog still want to be with me. Then I say, never mind, go. And then only the dog go. The dog was a very, very beautiful. Because I think the dog can sense my metta. At that time, my metta very strong. I told you, if I retreat towards someone, that person may be heedlessly thinking, suddenly he will stop thinking, and then he will look up, and he will smile to me. Then I thought in front easier. Then I tested one from behind. I was behind that person. I retreat the metta. You know what happened? She suddenly stopped. Then she turned around. Then she saw me, and she smiled. Then I smiled back. Then she feel funny. Why she did that? She didn't know I was behind her. But she felt something. That's why when you have that type of metta, it's from the heart one, that type of energy come out very soothing one, very different one. Okay, we better end. So, sadhu, huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us share merit, transfer merit. Then you may, return the blessing for our nation. Then you can make your aspiration. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itawata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetuca vito bhavatu lokoca Raja bhavatu dhammiko imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the great beings and the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.